I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh?
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fix, the A-League Hour. My name is Jordan Gifkins. Alongside me is the very hot and attractive Jake White. Hello.
Hi, Jordan. How are you?
I am absolutely riveting. Welcome to the next episode of the A-League Hour for everyone listening. If I haven't made it clear, it's the A-League Hour. Because why not, Jake? Big episode today, as it usually is, and I normally go into each episode saying it's a big episode, even though it's normally about similar to every single week of the podcast. We will be doing our normal review of the week, as we do, because it was another big week in the A-League and very topsy-turvy results and some inspiring performances from one Central Coast Mariners, which we will get into a little bit later. We've got our JJ's Football Fix Player of the Season to give our votes out to this week again. We've got a little bit of a mid-season report card, as we did just past the midway point of the season, or we are pretty much right on the midway point of the season. So we might do that, or we will do that for each team. Before previewing the upcoming week in the A-League, Jake, as we normally do, and very much loved and controversial show. But yeah, Jake, you didn't attend Victory versus Adelaide for the first time in Adelaide in a very long time, which is sad to hear, but obviously reasons outside, well, I mean, not really outside of your control, but reasons where you did not attend. So how did you find not going to the game this week?
Oh, it was very weird. As you said, it's the first time I haven't been to Adelaide away. The first time since January of 2011. I've been at Adelaide away, so a good 6 years. It was a bit weird watching it on the TV, but at the same time, there was a little bit of positives in it. We did win, and I got to watch it on my couch under the air conditioner instead of standing there sweating in 38-degree heat, Jordan. So I think there's always positives to a bad thing sometimes, and I was looking at the positives as best as I could.
Very optimistic from yourself, mate. Very optimistic. I like it. Very, it turns me on. Well, we're going to start off here with Thursday night. Perth Glory hosted a Wellington Phoenix side that was searching for that win that they need to kick on and really keep going in their season. They've had a little bit of a form resurgence of late. Did they get the win this game, Jake? They did not. They actually lost this one, despite taking the lead early through Roy Krishna, the monkey Fijian. The Fijian monkey, Roy. I don't know why I said Roy. It sounds nice. I don't know. They took the lead in the 11th minute before Roston Griffiths, on the stroke of half-time, let absolutely loose the thunderbolt of a strike from outside the box. Crazy. Went into the break 1-1. Adam Taggart then scored a pretty good header. I mean, it was really, the ball was fantastic for him. I think it was Chris Harrold might have crossed it for him, or Castro, I'm not too sure. You could if you looked it up. I'll look it up. It was actually Andy Keogh, sorry, that crossed the ball to him. And well worked goal. Taggart getting a little bit of form of late, Jake. It's good to see for not only Perth Glory, but the Australian football team. I think it was Perth Glory went into the game favourites. It was a pretty even game for the most part. But maybe Wellington could have got a point out of this game, but Perth Glory, a very strong team at home, and they showed it again.
Yeah, like you said, both teams realistically could stake a claim to win this game. Both teams played pretty well. It was actually a good game to watch as well, which is always good in the long-distance derby. But I think Perth deserved the win. It was the best performance I've seen from Perth in a while as well, which I think is always going to happen once they start getting players back and they start clicking. And I think the fact that they're getting Reece Williams out of their squad, although Reece Williams is a good player, I feel like it will benefit them long term, because I reckon, from what I've heard as well, he's bringing a fair bit of unrest to the team.
Strange, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because he's a fantastic player. And when we looked at the start of the season at players that have signed for different clubs. Rhys Williams is one that really did stand out for me when looking at Perth Glory. So it was a bit weird. It's a bit weird. I think he will end up at Sydney. I hope he doesn't, but I think he will.
I think it's inevitable now, isn't it? Matt Yeoman's moved on, and they've got sort of that vacancy in the central defence. So,
well, yeah, Graham Arnold did say after the game on Sunday that they were going to be looking at signing an international centre-back, but I don't know how that's going to go, because he did say that they were looking to sign an international centre-back. He said that on Sunday, and he said it in the next 24 hours, and we're doing this podcast 48 hours since he said that, so I don't know what's going on there. But I think Rhys Williams will end up in Sydney anyway. I think it just seems like one of those perfect fits. Rhys Williams is a good centre-back, and Sydney just lost a reasonably good centre-back in Matt Yeoman as well. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rhys Williams has that experience as well, so he can definitely just go in and do a job.
Yeah, so I don't know how it's going to work out. I'm hoping that it doesn't work out like that, because at the end of the day, it's well established, I don't like Sydney, and if they do get someone like Rhys Williams, then I think that they will probably sweep the league. But yeah, on this game, Perth deserved the win, in my opinion. Both teams play fantastic, but Perth took their chances. And they got 2-1 win, which is important for them, because if they want to, they're only 4 points off getting a home final. So, and a home final is massive for Perth, because they're usually reasonably good at home as well. So there's still a massive chance this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, I still personally think they're probably going to make the finals at the expense, as it stands, of Western Sydney. But we'll see what happens. See what happens with Western Sydney. Speaking of Western Sydney, they did travel down to Melbourne on Friday night to a pretty tough gig, travelling down to Melbourne versus Melbourne City. Despite Melbourne City not being in the best of form, they're clearly a much better side than Western Sydney Wanderers. They took the lead in the 19th minute through an absolutely fantastic strike by Ivan Franic. It was actually a round full of very impressive goals. And this was definitely up there with one of the better ones. Who would have thought? I remember, Jake, I was actually thinking back to that time, I'm not sure which game it was, but Ivan Franic walloping one from about 35 yards on the volley, going top corner. After the whistle. I was thinking of that, and I remember watching it thinking, and when you said at the time, it's like, he's never going to hit a ball any better. Sure, this one wasn't any like better than that, but in his defence, it's a volley outside the box that's gone in.
It wasn't better. Take those claims early, it wasn't better, but at the end of the day, it was still a fantastic volley.
He's definitely got it in his locker now, I think we can safely say.
Yeah, well, like I said when he did it, I think it was against Sydney as well, when he did it, after the whistle. Not against Sydney, against Brisbane.
I'm pretty sure it was Brisbane. Suncourt.
And they lost that game 1-0, so that stood the point out of that. And we said he's never going to hit a ball sweeter. He doesn't have that in his locker in the slightest, and it was a good hit. Like, in my opinion, it shouldn't have happened. I feel like that just proved how bad Western Sydney's defence is, because at the end of the day, it didn't go top corner. It wasn't like it just flew top corner.
It went straight through a body of players into the back of the net.
Exactly.
Player getting in the way. It's crazy. Especially that angle. It went in at the near post. So it's nothing against Janjetovic. Like, he came in, made his debut, had a fantastic game, kept him in it for the most part. But they got to have a defender there getting in the way of that side and only allowing him to shoot in the middle of the goal.
Yeah, well, I felt sorry for Janjetovic in this game, because he, in my opinion, was one of the better goalkeepers, well, probably by far the best goalkeeping performance I've seen this season by a Western Sydney player.
Doesn't really take much, does it?
First game, he comes in, makes some fantastic saves. It's just that it was a good goal, not taking anything away from Franic, but it shouldn't have happened. And if it doesn't happen, Western Sydney walk away from Melbourne with a point, which I'm sure they would have definitely taken. And they go into the derby with a little bit of slight momentum, because they've picked up a point away from home where they probably weren't really expecting to get a point. But they haven't done that because of a stupid goal to concede in the end of the day, because it should have been blocked, and it just proves how bad Western Sydney's defence really is. But not taking it away from City. They did deserve the 3 points. They were by far the better team. They probably should have won the game by a bit more. But, again, that's because of Janjetovic and how good Janjetovic did play.
Well, they could have got a point late. They Lachlan Scott came on and had a very good opportunity to score an equaliser for him, and maybe he's had a little bit more composure, a bit more experience, he might have actually put that one away and scored his first goal for Western Sydney. So in saying that, I mean, it was not the easiest chance realistically, but he did very well to get in that position. But yeah, my bad. Lachlan Scott has scored a goal this season, so he's actually had a pretty good season. In fairness, he's played 4 games, scored 1 goal, and assisted 2. So maybe he is the answer to the striking problems at West Ham. Who knows? Sanslab, I think, is back next week for the derby, or maybe the week after.
Week after, I'm pretty sure he misses the derby, which is a massive loss again for Western Sydney.
Huge thing for Western Sydney, though, is the fact Terry Antonis is pretty much odds on to make his debut. I think many A-League followers have not necessarily forgotten, but or maybe they have forgotten how good Terry Antonis was at Sydney FC, you know, 2 years ago. He was just running rampant that season. He ended up going to Paok Thielekenis or some shit. Yeah, nailed the name, didn't I, Jake?
Panathinaikos or some shit.
It's not Panathinaikos. It starts with a TH. Thienelakis or something. Pay off Thienelakis.
Let's just stop being fucking Greek for a second, because we've both got no fucking idea.
Yasu, yasu. Alaka.
Shut the fuck up.
But yeah, Melbourne City deserve the win. Statistically destroyed Western Sydney, and that's that. Western Sydney, obviously, big derby next week. They would have hoped they could have got something from this game, and they didn't, so unlucky. Brisbane Roar versus Newcastle Jets. Wowee, the result that really turned heads once again. Brisbane Roar, prior to this game, had gone on a 13-game unbeaten run at home, I think. I'm not 100%. It was quite an impressive record. And it looked to be continued when Tommy Orr scored another great goal. Pretty much very similar, actually, to Franich's in regards to the positioning of the goal. On the half volley, Tommy Orr scoring his first goal of the season, I think it was. First goal being back at Brisbane Roar since going overseas. Andrew Hall on the stroke of half time, though. What a goal that was, Jake. I remember you messaging me saying, what a beauty. I wasn't watching the game. I switched it over and I had a look, and GG, well played. Yeah, Andrew Hall went bang. Just continuing to prove his importance to the Newcastle side. And like I said, plenty of great goals this round. That one's included Andrew Hall, the player we didn't really think would have that in his locker. So, get around him. Just tends to be able to put in the hard ones and not the easy ones, but we'll move on from that. Andrew Naboo then scored in the 72nd minute to give Newcastle Jets a 2-1 advantage. His continued form this season continues to raise eyebrows after he has, I think, now got 9 man of the matches this season in about 15 games, so, or 14 games, I think it's been. So, crazy performance. Jamie McLaren then scored from the spot a pretty average tackle by Andrew Bogard, or Nigel Bogard, whatever his fuck's name. Meant Jamie McLaren could then plop through his 7th or 6th goal of the season, I think. But Nordstrand made sure Newcastle got the 3 points at Suncorp Stadium after Matt, I don't know what his name is, Theokletos. Michael Theo, I think it is, dropped the ball right at his feet. And Nordstrand just plopped home. Man, why are our English
plopped just home?
My English this so far has been somewhat interesting.
My English this so far. So concerned.
Oh,
right,
my God. Jake, it was a John case of Newcastle being too good for Brisbane, in my opinion, I think. They are certainly turning heads this season.
They're looking good. It's really weird, because I remember when they played Sydney about a month and a half ago, I think. It was after, I think it was a week after they played Victory. So it was about a month and a half ago.
And I got well and truly stuck into it. I'm saying they've got nothing going for them. They've got no way forward. They need new players. And fuck, they're in the top six. although, realistically, the bottom five teams of the league right now aren't exactly top-notch. Like, there's good teams. I rate Newcastle and Central Coast. I think Wellington have a good team and stuff. But at the same time, there's a clear gap between the top four to the rest of the league. In my opinion. Well, there's an even bigger gap between the top two to the rest of the league at the moment, too. But at the same time, fair play to Newcastle. They've stuck it up Brisbane twice this season. And they're looking good. I think they're going to make finals. I think they're looking fantastic. They've got young players that are playing for this shirt instead of themselves. And they're giving 110% each week. And in all fairness, they're doing well. As your sister is making a fair amount of noise.
Yeah, just continue.
If I do, I'm happy for them because I want Newcastle to do well because I grew up through the A-League in stages where Newcastle and Central Coast were the ones that were always dominating the league, doing fantastic, and their derby was always good to watch. And I'm really excited to watch Newcastle versus Central Coast in a few weeks' time because I think it's going to be one of the games of the season.
Yeah, they're both, in my eyes, very similar teams, Newcastle and Central Coast at the moment. Two young, exciting teams, got no fear going into every game, and it's really refreshing to see in the league, I reckon. So
yeah.
So that's good. Newcastle, like you said, I also agree. I think they're going to make finals. I think in terms of their squad, you wouldn't look at it and think it's not a finals team, but there's just something about every week, just about them that's just clicking and... It's fascinating to watch. I mean, they keep going in with different combinations. Obviously, Andrew Naboo's been a massive part to Newcastle's success this season. As has, you know, Andrew Hall, Nordstrand's finding the back of the net a few more times. Now, Wayne Brown, shout out to Wayne Brown, by the way, got subbed off at halftime to go to his wife's birth of his new baby boy, I think it was. So
his wife's birth. I thought you were going to say his wife's funeral for a second then.
No, his wife gave birth to, I think it was a baby boy. So that's, get around him. Great form, mate, in the bedroom. Ugarkovic.
You can't say that.
Ugarkovic has also been pretty big for them as well. So there's been a lot of good players here for Newcastle Jets. Devante Klut as well. Everyone knows we fancy him. But we'll move on to the next game. Melbourne victory. Shit. As I just see a headline about ISIS. Nice. Have an ISIS.
Can't say that. Shut the fuck up.
Adelaide United 0, Melbourne victory 2. James Troisi. 2 in 2 weeks after not scoring all season long. Top bins. What a finish. Get around him. Bessar Berisha then scored in the 68th minute. Was this the goal that made him go above Archie, or was it last week's goal that was above Archie?
Last week's was the goal above Archie.
Yeah, well, now he's two above Archie. So we'll keep counting that one down. Victory looks good money for this game, but Adelaide actually played pretty well, Jake, if I do say so myself. They created numerous chances and they could have got on the score sheet with a little bit more composure and a bit more luck, potentially. I watched it, but you will have a better opinion on this game than I will. So, Jake, what did you think of it?
I was happy, obviously, to get 3 points. Played well. We're just ticking on, really. Well, I say we played well. In my opinion, it was one of our worst performances for the last month. But we're fine. We found our little playing field. Really, we've played with the same starting 11 for the last 6 weeks, and I think, which is always good to see because you want to have your team having a bit of consistency. And we've got players like Georgeski and Ansell sitting on the bench because Donoghue and Broxham have cemented their spots in the starting 11, which is again fair play to them, and they've done very well, especially Broxham, because I remember him coming into the club season 1 and then He won a championship in season 2 as an attacking midfielder. Then he won a championship in season 4 as a defensive midfielder. Then 2 years ago, he won a championship as a right back. And this year, he's in second place, cemented his spot in a team that's in second place at left back. So quite a versatile player, young Lee Broxton. Well, not too young at the moment, but you know what I mean. So fair play to him as well.
He's currently 28.
Yeah, so, and when you put it into perspective as well, what the league's in its 12th season, and he's been at Victory since season 1, so he's always been around, which is good. I've never seen a player give 110% for the shirt like in the A-League like Lee Broxham, so I'm happy for him to cement his spot in the left-back role, because I think he's been fantastic too, because he's not the slowest player either. Like, when you look at Lee Broxham going up against wingers like Kamau, and Connor Pay and stuff, he's not obviously not faster than them, but he still holds his own. So, fair play to him, and I'm happy for him, and I'm happy to get the 3 points, Jordan. I don't know what more to say, really. Both goals are really good. Troisi is starting to hit, like, I think Troisi has been fantastic all season, but now he's starting to hit his own patch of goal scoring form, which is always good to see his shots go in the back of the net, considering he went 35 shots without scoring a goal, I think it was, and now he's scored his last 2 shots.
That was his biggest criticism this season, was his goals. And he's it looks like he's turned the corner here. He just needs to kick on, continue to create chances and score goals. And yeah, he's probably, I mean, it's pretty much odds on now that he's going to be in the next Socceroos squad. And I mean, of, like, injuries excluded, I think it's a fair chance he'll probably end up starting the next game for Australia in that role, depending on Tom Rogic's fitness, because there's still question marks over that. But we'll see what happens. Jake's a while away, a couple of months now, so that's all right. The last game of the round is arguably the most exciting game. Central Coast Mariners hosted Sydney FC in what was maybe last season expected to be a walkover for Sydney FC based on Central Coast Mariners form last year. But this season they've definitely raised a few eyebrows, much like Newcastle. Not as good as Newcastle this season, obviously, but they're certainly, you know, making a case to potentially be a finals team in the next year or so. They looked pretty good in the second half of this game. I won't say much about the first half. They were in and out, realistically. Bobo opened the scoring in the 43rd minute to give Sydney FC the lead just before halftime, before scoring again just after halftime. And it looked like Sydney FC were going to run away with it. They were in control. Central Coast were not making much happen. But enter Connor Payne. He's
different.
Yeah, he's come on in the 63rd minute for Trent Bahaja. Trent Bahaja is a great player, rapid player. But Connor Payne has just, it was massive in this game. He's come on in the 63rd minute. Central Coast Mariners got one back in the 66th minute through Roy O'Donovan. Shocking defence from Holosko. I don't know what he's doing. He's put the ball back across his own box, straight to O'Donovan on the goal line. Yeah, questionable. Yeah. Before Galloway, the former Melbourne Victory wing-back, put Central Coast on level terms in the 76th minute. And it looked like, oh, this was actually after, so Fabio Ferreira missed a penalty, put it over the bar. It looked like Central Coast, they had the momentum, they had the tenacity to win, and it looked like they were going to get the 3 points and kick on. But Sydney FC blunted that with David Carney popped up in an offside position, very controversial. To nod home from very close range. And Sydney FC ended up winning 3-2. So pretty sad for Central Coast supporters and players. They, you know, busted their nut to get back in the game. And it was unfortunate that they ended up conceding a third, which was offside. And it's not the first time something like that has happened this season. So it's a bit of a shame that it keeps happening. Albeit the refs have been a little bit better in recent times. They're still pulling out the inconsistencies. Sydney FC were the better team, though, Jake, for the most part of the game. They first half, they were all over them. And you can't really take anything away from their win, can you, Jake?
Nah, they were good.
especially the first half, they were fantastic, and they should probably should have been up by more than one at half. But if you're a Central Coast fan, you probably feel a bit hard done by because you did so well. They did so well to come back into the game, and then to end up, I wouldn't say they got robbed. Like I know that at the end of the day, if the Lions will put this flag up like a shield, then they get a point from it. But at the same time, Sydney were by far the better team. But yeah, I don't really know what to say because I'm obviously not happy that Sydney won because I'd rather they didn't win so the victory can catch up on them. But Sydney are looking class still, and it just makes it even more like Australia Day even bigger, to be honest. Australia Day, Melbourne Victory versus Sydney FC. Hopefully the weather's good. And you could honestly probably see 40 to 45,000 turn up at Etihad Stadium, which would be an absolute blockbuster. So if Sydney keep on going the way they're going, Victory keep on going the way they're going, it just proves to be two huge games between both the teams coming up for the rest of the season because Victory still have to travel to Sydney as well. So like I said earlier, the two teams at the top of the table are probably streets ahead the rest of the competition. But at the same time, Central Coast has been fantastic. I know they're ninth at the moment, and they've only got 10 points from the first 9 games. 10 points from the first 14 games, but they're a lot better than that. They're playing some fantastic football, and Connor Payne definitely changed the game when he came on Jordan. And I think he should be starting above Fabio Ferreira.
I think he normally does. That's the thing. There was a bit of indifference there that he didn't start this game. Because he starts most games this season. I know Paul Okon actually told him after the game that he is one of the best wingers in the competition, which is good. I like seeing managers tell their players that they're at that level. I think it really, like for a player like Connor Payne, in that position as a winger, and you know they strive a lot on confidence, and they can really kick on with a bit of confidence. And I think if you have that confidence from your manager, that you've been told you're one of the best wingers in the league, it might, you know, egg on Connor Payne to even go to the next level, which is pretty good to see because he's been very impressive this season, Jake. Paul Yezzo, our mate, he had a very fantastic game. I couldn't really do too much about the goals, I don't think. But he made about 3 or 4 class saves and just continues to impress this season. He's had his critics over the years, but this season it looks like he's sort of turned a corner in regards to his form and he's been a lot more consistent and making a lot more impressive saves for Central Coast this season. So it's good to see. See a young keeper performing well. I haven't seen many young keepers in the league perform well since Matt Ryan all those years ago. And look at him now.
In all fairness, Lawrence Thomas is still only at the age of like 22,
23. Is he? I thought he was 25.
I couldn't tell you. I think he's still young, though, in all fairness to him. But like I still agree with you. Like I've said plenty of times, Paul Izzo is fantastic. And deserves every single bit of credit that he gets because he's been in a team, especially last season, where the defence was shambolic. So he deserves a lot of credit for sticking through that and getting through that sort of rough period. The launch time was just 24, so he's still young-ish. But, yeah, Paul Izzo, I think they're both, like, the goalkeeping for Australia right now is in decent hands, I think. Like, Matt Ryan's still young-ish. And 24, he's very, Matt Ryan's still young-ish and is quite easily Australia's best goalkeeper. Then you've got keepers like Langbrack, Thomas, Izzo, throw Jack Duncan in there, who are all class keepers and all coming through the ranks as well.
He's still relatively young, it sounds.
Yeah, and he's Berrigetti's young-ish and he's over at Swansea, so he must be a decent keeper if he's over at Swansea. So there's a lot of good times coming ahead for the Socceroos, hopefully, Jordan.
I mean, we don't probably need another goalkeeper for the Socceroos for a fair while now, but if Matt Ryan ever goes down with injury or something like that, we've definitely got players who can fill that void. It's very good to see, Jake. We will move on here to a little bit of a in-depth stats look like we do. Starting off with the table, Sydney FC. They remain on top with 36 points from 14 games, 11 of those wins. Melbourne Victory are currently second with a game in hand on 29 points. So if they win that game in hand, they can move within 4 points of Sydney It's actually interesting that they're doing this because they've sort of flown a lot under the radar because of how good Sydney FC have been. But only 4 points beneath them if they win their game in hand against Wellington is a lot better than probably a lot of people recognise. So it's pretty decent. Melbourne City, they sit in third on 23 points. Brisbane Roar, fourth on 21 points. Perth Glory with their win, they move into the top six. Or they move up higher into the top six, into fifth. Newcastle Jets are sixth in that top six. They move above Western Sydney with that win. West Sydney move down into seventh on 14 points. Wellington and Phoenix in eighth on 12 points. Central Coast ninth with 10 points. And Adelaide United still sit bottom of the table with one win in 14, Jake. So
Jordan,
it's not very good for them. Statistically, Golden Boot stats. Bessar Brisha has 11 goals for the Sino season. Look at I was reading out Bruno at the same time. Sino Fornaroli has 10 goals for the season. The second position, Marco Rojas has 9 for the season. He is being absolutely stunning this season as that fucking stupid little beeping thing goes off in my house. Milos Ninkovic has 8 assists for the season. Marco Rojas has 7, or I believe that's meant to be 9 if I'm not mistaken. Not sure what's going on there. Chris Harold, Bruce Kamau, and James Troisi all have 5 assists as well. I don't know if that's correct. I feel like that's a little bit wrong.
What?
The goal assist statistics. I don't know. I just feel like...
What, for Troisi?
For Marco Rojas, and I think Tommy Orr had 5 last week. I'm not sure.
No, yeah, this app isn't fantastic. It's not correct with a lot of stats.
Well, I mean, I was looking at Troisi. He's only got 0 goals for the season, and he just scored in 2 weeks in a row. So, that's great. really spot on. Jake, JJ's Football Fix Player of the Season Award continues for another week here. And I'd love to get your one vote to kick things off.
Would you?
I would, yeah.
My one vote this week goes to Vedran Janjetovic. I think he had a lot of pressure on him going into this game because I know he hasn't really won the hearts of too many Western Sydney fans either at the moment. So all eyes were going to be on him, and he stood up to it. Although he did cop a goal, he was definitely a lot better than any other keeper that's put on the gloves for Western Sydney this season.
Yeah, Janjetovic getting his first votes of the season, obviously. Because he hasn't really played a game this season, so... my one vote this week goes to Connor Payne, Jake. Came on the pitch in the 63rd minute, completely changed the complexion of the contest. And, yeah, he's a phenomenal player this season especially. And it's good to see from the young Australian. What are you laughing at?
That beeping sound.
I know. It's so annoying. Yeah,
your 2 votes? My 2 votes. Someone my 2 votes this week go to Milos Ninkovic. He was fantastic again for Sydney, pulling all the strings for them in getting the 3 points for them. He's quite easily in the top 3 best players in the league, probably in the top 2 as well, maybe even the best, you never know.
He is the best, yeah.
No, he's not. but fair play to him. He's got my 2 votes this week. He was fantastic again for them.
Jake, my 2 votes this week goes to James Troisi. Another great performance from him. He's really playing some good footy at the moment, isn't he? Pinging balls off half back to the winger. Not quite. Put him in the top bins, though. First time outside the box. Fantastic play from him. The goal was fantastic. I mean, there's not many players in the league that can do that. Fortunately, the ball came to him, and he can do it. So... that was always good. And yeah, like I said, he's had to add goal scoring to his game to kick on to the next level, and he has, so that's good.
Yep.
Your 3 votes, Jake.
My 3 votes this week go to Carlos Valeri, Jordan.
I think he's had a very underrated season because not too many people really put really emphasise how important a defensive midfielder is to a team. We've obviously seen it this season in the Premier League with Idrissa Gunner Gay. I think he's been fantastic all season. He's been consistent. I think that's exactly what Victor were missing last season for a lot of the time too, when he went out for 4 to 5 months with that head injury. And he's really complimenting players like Bezanic as well, because I think he hasn't been fantastic for us, but he's been a lot better over the last month or so since Valeri's really been back to full 90 minutes of consistency. And it's just refreshing for Victory as well to have their captain as well playing 90 minutes every single week as well. So he gets my 3 votes this week because, again, against Adelaide, he was fantastic. Sure.
My 3 votes this week are going to the marquee man from Sydney, Bobo. His first goal was a sensational bit of striking instinct play, just tapping it back to himself, setting him up on the volley. Fantastic finish. His second goal was a tap-in, but he still had to be there to finish it. Your mate Ninkovic, doing very well in the lead-up for that goal. And he's just been a constant threat. He hasn't really been, great this season. He's been okay, but I don't know. He's had a really good game on the weekend, and he's got his first votes of the season, Jake, which is good for him. the current leaderboard on this one, Marco Rojas, as he didn't pick up any votes this week, but continues to just strive this season. The likely winner of the Johnny Warren medal come the end of the season, he has 19 votes for the season, extending his, I don't know what I'm talking about, Ninkovic, he has 11 votes in second, after he got some more votes this week from yourself, Jake. Who else? Luki De Villa. He has 9 votes, and he sits third. And then we've got players like Michael Theo on 8, Berisha's got 8. I've got a really long list of names and numbers here, so it's just very hard to keep track of. I might go through that soon. But yeah, that's all. That's all the JDS Forward Fix Player of the Season award, Jake. Woo! but now it's time for our discussions. We can just discuss some important topics here. And it's going to be our mid-season report card. We're going to talk about some of the pros and cons of each team in the league. Maybe some good players, some bad players, some good things, some bad things. Before giving our mark A, B, C, D, E, or F. I think there's going to be at least one team here get an F. We're quite brutal. So that's always good to see a team get an F. Exciting to talk about. But Jake, we'll kick things off in alphabetical order with the team that probably of any team is going to get an F, let's be honest. Adelaide United. Interesting team, to be honest. They have had a very bad season, to say the least. And we don't say that lightly because they are last. They are 14 games into the season and they have won one game. They've scored 10 goals in 14 games, which isn't good if your striker is an ex-BBVA striker. And they've conceded 25 goals, which isn't the worst in the league, but it's really not the best, is it, either? Currently sitting on last position. They have 1 win, 4 draws, and 9 losses from 14 games. Jake, what have you made on the season?
If they get an F, they get a fucking Z. Yeah, they've been horrendous. Quite easily the worst title defence I've seen in my time watching the early, which has been since season one. So, like you said, 1 win, 4 draws, and 9 losses clearly is not good enough at all. And it's not like they don't have the players either. It's not like they're sitting there with a team that is worthy of 6-7 points in that amount of games. But here they are. So they get an F in my opinion. They've been fantastic. They've been not fantastic. They've been fantastically shit out.
F for fantastic.
F for fucking dreadful. They've got fantastic players though. That's the thing. They do have a great team, and I don't understand what's happened. I think the manager has probably lost his players.
And he did lose players, to be fair. He lost a lot of players in the off-season, lost the players like Goodwin and Kamau. There's probably a few others that I've missed, Jitte. He lost Malik throughout midway through last season, lost that young lad from City that they signed last year, Mork. Yeah, so they've lost some top players, and they haven't really replaced them, really. Like, I know they got Enrique in, which is obviously a good signing, but other than that, they didn't really do much. And there's a reason why Newcastle let go of Taylor Regan, whatever his name is, because he's not good. And Adelaide picked him up. In my opinion, Adelaide should be having a crack at trying to get Rhys Williams. Like, I know that he's most likely going to go to Sydney, but I don't see why Adelaide can't have a genuine crack at trying to get Rhys Williams, because I think he'd be a perfect fit for them. They need someone in the defence to complement people like McGowan. And I feel like he'd be, like I said, a fantastic fit for them at centre-back. And honestly, even that, I forget what his name is, again, that bloke from City that's been starting the last month or so.
Pongak.
Yeah, or even him, like, even if they held on to him instead of selling him to City and he was starting at centre-back, at least they'd be giving youth a go. But Taylor Regan? Like,
one of the worst players in the league.
Genuinely, there's a reason why Newcastle let go of him. And that's Newcastle, nothing against Newcastle at all, but they're not exactly a team that attracts fantastic players, and there's a reason why they let him go, because he's not good enough. And Adelaide, the defending champions, picked him up. Doesn't make any sense at all. And, yeah, so they get an F for me because they've been pathetic.
I'm going to go out and say that they are also going to get an F this season. I think they've been pretty deplorable, in my opinion. I think you can't sit last on the table and avoid an F. They've had a few good performances without getting the chocolates. I think they've had a few draws. They might have drawn against Sydney, if I'm not mistaken. And they've had a few good performances against Wellington. They have got very lucky in a couple of them as well. Golekovic saving a few penalties and making a couple of double saves late in those games. Obviously, their one win came against Wellington back in round 9, a 2-0 win. Enrique scoring those two worldies. The best player, though, Adelaide by far this season has been Ben Garucho. That left-back role needed to be fixed a little bit. And thankfully, they picked up Garuccio from Melbourne City, and he is just someone that doesn't stop trying. Kicks on, great defensively, great going forward. His crossing has been superb when given the opportunity, which isn't that often, considering they're normally on the back foot most of the time. But for defending champions, they've been deplorable. So an F is the only mark I can give them, Sir Jake. who did you say was their best player this season?
I've been giving them the best player for Adelaide. Best player for Adelaide this season. It's a difficult one as well because I haven't had many good players.
I've gone out on a limb and said Benny Garuccio.
He'd be up there. He was good on when was it?
When he was good.
He was good on Saturday against Victory. Created a lot of chances. Like, they've got the players like Kuruska and Sirio, who are obviously good. Al Rich is obviously good. Golekovic is obviously all right as well. I'd probably go out and say Garuccio as well. If not Garuccio, then Tarek Al Rich probably.
Cannot disagree with that, Jake. Cannot disagree with that. Moving on to the next team, Brisbane Roar. They're slightly, they currently sit fourth on the table, which is not too bad. Albeit they did lose on the weekend, they're still doing quite well in the league. They've won 5, drawn 6, and lost 3 in their 14 games. They've scored 18 goals, conceded 17, a pretty all-round sort of scoring table, I guess. I don't know. But they've been good at home. I think that's the one thing that's probably helped them to the stage that they're at. Apart from their loss to Newcastle on the weekend, they've been very good at home. Like, the streak was, they hadn't lost in 13, which, you know, tracks back to last season. But they have not scored enough goals, which is interesting because Jamie McLaren, is shouldering a lot of the attack, but he's not really having that good of a season, and you've touched on it when we were talking about it during their game the other day. He just doesn't look interested, and it has a lot to do with the speculation of his move to, you know, a different club. That he's just not interested. He's not up to it. He's well down on his form and performances from last season, and that's evident. His body language is evident. But I think, you know, should he move on, which is likely to be this month, if they can replace him, I feel like that their form might lift. Nothing against McLaren. He's obviously a fantastic striker, but he might be a little bit of toxic right now in the change rooms, just with his attitude and mentality at the club. I can't say that for certain because I don't know personally. I'm not in the change room, so I can't say that, but that's just what it seems as an outside view. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Jake, what do you think of their season?
Up and down. Like, they've been all right, in all fairness. Like, they've only lost 3 games out of 14. And at the start of the season, I didn't have them doing too well. Like, I had them sitting in the finals, but only just sneaking in the finals. I didn't really think they were going to do too much this year. But I don't know. They're just a weird one because they'll go into the games against, like, City, Victory and Sydney with their towels up, and they'll put in a good performance, but then they'll play teams like Adelaide, Wellington, Newcastle, Western Sydney, and they'll drop points. So, yeah, they're obviously, we've stated plenty of times, they're a great team at home and not exactly fantastic
away
from home. But their home form's taken a little bit of a hit as of late, especially in the weekend when they lost to Newcastle. But overall, I think they've been all right. I'll give them a B minus on their performances so far. I was tossing it between a B minus and a C plus. It's not really too much different between it because they've got a good team. Their starting team's obviously good, but I feel like they're going to take a bit of a hit during January because I honestly think McLaren will not be at Brisbane come February. I think he will move on to a different club. I don't know who to, but apart from him scoring a goal on the weekend, I just can't see, like, he cares really. He doesn't really look interested in playing all that much, and he's obviously got the talent, so I want him to move on as well, because I think he could offer a team like Western Sydney or a team overseas a lot. So yeah, I'll give them a B minus, but they've got a lot to work on if they want to go anywhere near contending for the title this season.
I think when thinking of Brisbane Roar, I'm going to give them a C plus. When thinking about it, I always think about their performance against Melbourne City. I think it was early-ish in the season. I'm not exactly sure when it was. That game when City didn't even have a shot on goal, and they had, you know, started Kamau, Cahill, Fornaroli, Colazzo, all played, I think. So I remember that as a performance that really stands out for them. But I think a C plus, just because of their away form, I think it's fair enough. But fourth on the table right now, definitely having a good season, and they just need to find a few more goals, and I think they'll be set, Jake. Moving on to the next team, we have the Central Coast Mariners, who are currently sitting in ninth position. Interesting team to talk about because they have very low expectations. When they came into the season, we had low expectations for them. A lot of probably their supporters had low expectations. They are coming ninth, but realistically, they've been pretty good. They've conceded 31 goals, which I think the second most goals in the league conceded, and only scored the 16. But realistically speaking, they've been quite impressive in a lot of their games, headlined by that game against Sydney on the weekend. It's not like that was a out-of-the-blue sort of performance. They've been competitive in more than 75% of their games, and it's just been unfortunate a lot of the time for them. So it's good for them. I'm going to go out and say I'm going to give them a C, just because I really like what they're doing with their youth development. They've got a very young side, headlined by Izzo, Bahaja, Connor Payne, Adam Berry. You know, there's just a lot of young, good players. And I think I'm giving them a C just because they're playing these players. They're not going out and signing a lot of experienced players and just playing these old guys, and they're performing badly. But they're really prepared to give, as they have been throughout their entire A-League history, they're prepared to give youth a chance. And I think in the long run it's going to pay massive dividends, not only for them, but for Australian football.
Yeah, they're looking fantastic. I'm going to give them a C as well, just because they're not like setting the world on fire, but they haven't been horrible. Sure, there's been games this season where they've lost by 3 to 4 goals, but there's also been games where they have been terrific. So they get a C from me. They've got some good young players coming through, but I feel like they've got to get rid of a few players as well. I can't see Tavares or Fatty being at Central Coast next season, nor can I see Ferreira being there too. So there's a lot that they've got to work on the way of development, which will also bring in more players as well. Like, if they get rid of Fatty, Tavares and Ferreira, that's 3 international spots. I'm not sure if Ferreira is still an international spot or not, but either way, I'm sure he'll be taking up a fair bit of the cap as well. So that's, and realistically, Tavares and Fatty haven't really been playing that much for Central Coast anyway, so they wouldn't be big losses anyway. So,
well, they're both injured at the moment, I think.
Yeah, no, I can't see Tavares getting into the starting lineup right now. I could see Fatty maybe getting into the starting lineup, but I don't think they'd be massive losses anyway. So yeah, hopefully they can bring in some players with that too to complement their young players and have a massive crack at the finals next season.
Paul Ocon's been very good for him as well. Exciting brand of football. Not has no fear with, you know, playing youngsters. He's evident by, you know, he's the ex Young Socceroos head coach. So it's good. It's good that, you know, he's still nurturing that young talent at Central Coast. And yeah, I think, like we've said multiple times, the next couple of seasons will be massive for Central Coast if they hold onto that core of the team. And they will kick on to the next stage of their career, Jake. The next team, Melbourne City. They're currently 3rd on the table, 6 wins, 5 draws, 3 losses for the season. Their last 10 games haven't been great, 5 draws in the last 10. Just struggling to find that form that they did earlier in the season. Interesting team, and much like Central Coast, not in regards to their positions, obviously. But it's sort of an interesting team to talk about. I mean, if you take that early season form and talk about that, you'd say, you know, almost title favourites, maybe outside Sydney, were up there to be in the final, stuff like that. They were very, very impressive, but they sort of dropped off a little bit. They've been hindered, potentially, by John Van Schip, who is now gone, so it could help them. Bruno Fornaroli, obviously, is trying to make a good combination with Cahill. He scored 10 goals this season, but I'm still not convinced that those two together is good. I feel like Fornaroli is certainly playing at a lower level than he did last season. In saying that, he's still 2nd in the Golden Boot, so you can't really take much away from him. Luke Braddon was a fantastic signing for him. Start of the season, fantastic. I haven't heard much from him lately, but, you know, it is what it is. He's a defensive midfielder for the most part, and he's not going to get praise every single week, but he's another player that should be in the Socceroos squad come March. And they got their first bit of silverware, so you've got to give them that. But their defence is not bad. They've considered 18, but it always seems to be the finger pointed at the defence for not being good enough. Obviously, their attack is well documented to be one of the best in the league, but, you know, Bouzanis in goal isn't really doing that well, is he? So, I don't know. I don't know why they haven't given Sorensen another run in the team, but that's that. I'm going to give him a B. A B. I'm leaning towards a B minus. I'm on the fence between a B and a B minus. But you got to think of the early season form, winning the FFA Cup, stuff like that. I think they are worthy of a B, potentially even a B plus. I don't even know, Jake. I'll give him a B.
I'm going to give him a B minus. I don't think they've been bad, but at the same time, I don't think they've been fantastic. I think they're in the same stage, sort of, as Brisbane. Like, obviously, they've been good. They've won the FFA Cup, fair play to them. They've got their first silverware. And they're looking reasonably okay this season. Like, they're sitting 3rd, which obviously isn't bad, but they should probably be doing better than what they are, especially over the last month. But they've got players like Cahill, Fornaroli, Kamau, Bratton, Kilkenny, and a few, and Brandan and Colasso. So they've been really, they've got some fantastic players, realistically.
But at the same time, there's obviously room for improvement as well, I think, especially in the way they manage it too. It doesn't really help them, like you said, that they've had the destruction of the manager leaving or them pushing the manager out, whatever, and all that shit. But, yeah, so they should be doing better than what they are, in my opinion, but I think they've been reasonably good at the same time. So I've got them at the same spot as Brisbane, really.
Well, Victory Jake, they're performing very well on the table. Second, to be exact, with the game in hand. They've won 9 games, drawn 2 and lost 2. Their last 10, they've had 8 wins. So they're rolling along very nicely. Good news out of Victory today as well. Marco Rojas has confirmed he's going to commit to the A-League for the rest of the season. There was slight speculation of a move abroad this January transfer window. But he has come out and said he's here for at least the entire season, which is good for Melbourne Victory. He's obviously been one of the best players in the league. They've been great. You can't take anything away from them. They're second in the league for a reason. They're one of the most informed teams, probably the most informed team in the competition, because Sydney haven't been the most convincing team of late. And they're scoring a lot of goals. They've scored 32 goals so far this season, which I think is second most in the league behind Sydney, and only conceded 14, which is massive for their defence. To only do that, considering, you know, those question marks over Barrow at centre-back, like normally a DM. Nick Ansell is pretty good, but, you know, is sort of rotating a little bit. James Donaghy was a little unproven before the season, but he's come in, done very well. And then they've got that front four of, you know, Berisha, Rojas, Ben Kalfala and Chiwisi, and they've still got Mitch Austin, Beister and Ingham in depth on the bench, which is incredible depth, realistically. The attacking options Victory have is crazy. And they're currently 1-5 on the trot, so you can't really say anything bad about Victory. Very minimal. They've got class all over the pitch, and for me, they're getting an A. And they're not getting an A+, because their start of the season was a little bit questionable. And if they'd started slightly better, they could very well be top of the table right now.
Yeah, obviously I'm happy with the way we've gone at the moment. Would obviously rather be first and second, but at the same time, I can't complain with how we've gone over the last 2 months. There's obviously room for improvement with us. We're still conceding some goals that we probably shouldn't concede, and we're not putting away teams like we probably should, because we should be 2 points better than what we are right now, because we absolutely dominated Perth in one of the games a few weeks ago, a month or so ago. But I can't complain. We've definitely improved on where we were 2 to 3 rounds into the season after getting battered by City 2 times in 10 days. But at the same time, like I said, there's still room for improvement. We've still got to learn to put away our chances. Although we have scored a lot of goals this season, we've also, we probably should have scored about an extra 10 goals to what we have scored, because the chances we're creating with players Choicy. Like, the chances we've been creating with players like Rojas, Austin, Kalfala, Troisi, Ingham, Beister, and even Berisha's created some good chances as well, realistically. We probably should be closer to Sydney, but at the same time, I think we'll still definitely finish top two this season. That's all that matters to me. So I'm going to give Victory an A-, Jordan.
Ooh, different to me. Newcastle Jets, Jake. They're 6th on the table, 4 wins, 4 draws, 6 losses, 20 goals scored, 24 against. Jake, I don't want to sound like they're being carried, but Andrew Nabu, 4 goals, 3 assists to the season. Not only one of the most improved players in the competition, but arguably one of the best players in the league this season. I think you've got, you know, obviously you've got that Ninkovic and Rojas leading the lines, Berisha's been very good and stuff like that, Troisi. But Nabu certainly comes into calculations when looking at the best players for the season. And credit to him for turning around after it looked like his career was going down ways after his move for Victory to Malaysia. But he did well in Malaysia, came back doing very well here, so it's good to see. Newcastle sit in the top six, which is a very surprise to a lot of followers of the A-League and probably a lot of their supporters as well. Wouldn't have expected it. They've had a lot of good victories over the time. None more so than Perth Glory in round 10, where it was the first time they'd beaten Perth in more than 11 years away, coming from behind to win 2-1. And that really stamped the characteristics of the squad. They've got fantastic cohesion running throughout the squad. Paul Izzo in defence, Nabu, like I said, in attack's been great. Devante Klut, when given the chance, has been really good. Andrew Hall has lifted to another level since his move from Sydney. So they've got a very good squad, and one that should make the finals this season, Jake. I'm going to give them a B.
Yeah, they've been fantastic.
F for fantastic.
They're looking a lot better than what they were last season, obviously, and than what they were probably about 2 months ago as well. I'm happy for them because, like I said earlier, the improvement's obviously there, and they're doing, again, a lot better than what they probably should be as well, really. Like, they haven't... It's not like they've been shit for a long time, but at the same time, they've... I don't know how to put it. They've changed their board, they've changed their manager, they've changed basically the whole squad as well compared to last year, and it's obviously working at the moment, which is good for them. But they're just got to find that sort of consistency. Like, I know they've been good for the last month or so, but they've got to keep on going with it because their final spot obviously isn't cemented. Western Sydney will obviously look to improve their team still as well, so that's a spot that will be up for grabs. I'm going to give them a C+, just because of how much they have improved, but at the same time, there's still a lot of room for improvement too. I've given them a C+, just because, like, they're there, but they're not there, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Understood, sir. Perth Glory, current fifth position. 4 wins, 5 draws, 5 losses, 24 goals for, 28 goals against. Interesting season from Perth. They haven't really hit the straps they have of last season or the season before that, but they're still there and around bouts in the finals position. I think what's probably been their best thing for them was that they've got pretty good depth in the squad, but it's highlighted by Diego Castro, who obviously is a massive part of their squad, and I think it's evident that when he left the team, their form did drop a bit, and he came back in and performed very well, and the team performed very well. So he's been another player that's one of the better players in the league this season when given the opportunity to play, which is always because he's the best player in Perth Glory. but the one thing they have been bad at, Jake, is their away form. They've only won 1 game in 7 on the road, which is not good enough at all. Andy Keogh's been pretty good up front for them. Adam Taggart is finding a little bit of form, but at the moment, he's probably not performing as well as he could be. And I'm actually going to give them a C-, Jake, because looking at their squad, they're one of the most exciting teams to, you know, look at pre-season, and they're not performing as well as I thought they would.
Yeah, like you said, they've got players. Obviously, they've got players like Castro, Taggart, Keogh, who are all players that could, apart from maybe Sydney, Victory and City, all those three players could probably fit into any team in the A-League. So it's always good to have a good front three, but you've also got to have a good defence. Obviously, this is probably the best season I've seen Reddy have in the A-League. He's been pretty good for them. But at the same time, the distraction of Reece Williams as well probably didn't help them. But I think they're starting to turn a corner. They looked good against City, and then they got a win against Wellington last week. I think they've got a good test this week against Newcastle. So we'll see how that goes for them. They're going to get a C from me, just because they've got the team, but they're not really putting it together. And I've expected a lot more from them this season than what they've given.
I agree, Jake, 100%. moving on here to Sydney FC. Well, I'm going to come out and say they've been A+. I mean, how can you fault, really, a team that hasn't lost a game so far. You can fault them in different areas, fair enough, but they haven't lost a game. They're first for a reason. They've scored 34 goals in 14 games and only conceded 7. Everything's going right for them. At Graham Arnold's talk about Sydney FC being the Invincibles of the A-League, you can't fault it yet because it's still still intact. So, see what happens there. They need a central defender quickly to replace Matt Yerman. And Seb Ryle started at centre-back on the weekend and he got injured. So, they could find themselves in a bit of a pickle there if they don't sign someone like Reece Williams very quickly. But in saying that, I'm sure they'll find someone, and I'm sure their depth is probably good enough to cover if they don't get a man before this week's game. But Jake Ninkovic, fantastic player. Holosko's been playing pretty well. Bobo's starting to come into it a little bit. Bernie Abini has only just started his first game of the season. Scary to think that he's not really done too much this season, and they're still first on the table and performing very well, considering how good he is. So yeah, Vukovic, great season for him as well. He had his critics at his home at Victory, and he's responded pretty well. So yeah, I mean, you can't really say anything else about Sydney FC apart from they've been fantastic with a capital F.
Yeah, I'm going to give them an A, just because it's not the best start to a season that any A-League team's ever had. So if they did break that, then they'd definitely get an A plus from me. But it's the best unbeaten start a team's had to a season, in all fairness to them. But I think there's still room for improvement for them as well. I know they haven't lost a game yet, but I think Central Coast and a few teams over the last month have shown that they do have weaknesses. So it's going, like I've said before as well, the game against Victory on Australia Day is going to be a genuine test to see where both teams at the top of the table are at. Because if Victory win that, then it's on for young and old. But if Sydney win that, then they'll probably finish first and get the Premier's plate. So, like I said, there's still room for improvement for them. Obviously, I can't follow them just because I hate them. I'm not going to sit here and say they've been shit because they haven't. They've been fantastic. They've obviously not lost a game all season. They haven't looked like they're going to lose a game all season apart from the first half against Victory, maybe. Where Victory absolutely dominated in the first half, but again, like I said then as well, they didn't deserve to lose the game because they were easily a better team in that second half as well. So that's the only time where they've really looked like they could lose a game this season. So fair play to them. They've been obviously terrific in every aspect possible. They've conceded not many goals. Like, they've conceded a few goals over the last few weeks. I think conceded two. Probably should have conceded three and Central Coast on the weekend as well. So, like I said, there's still room for improvement for them, but I think I'm just going to stick with an A just because they haven't broken the best start to the A-League season, Jordan.
Cracking on here, Wellington Phoenix, 8th position on the table, Jake. Controversial team, being from New Zealand. For that reason alone, they're controversial. 3 wins, 3 draws, 7 losses in their 13 games. They've scored 14 and conceded 20. Roy Krista. Again, he's been fantastic for them this season, scoring 8 times. 8 of the 14 goals they've scored this season. Realistically though, their one big issue is their form at home, which is very surprising. They've only won 2 of their 6 matches at home, which is often regarded a tough trip for away sides to travel to New Zealand. And they've recently signed Shane Smelt, so hopefully that does help. So, a few indifferent things for Wellington Phoenix. I'm going to give them a D+. Marginal, though. They almost got a C-, or a D. I'm going to give them a D+, Jake.
They're doing worse again than what I thought they would. They've got a good team. They've got Bonavasia, Krishna, Barbarousis, now Smelt's got Finkler. So they've got a good team, but it's just not sticking together for them. It's starting to come together, though, since Ernie Merrick left, which I think is a bit harsh on Ernie Merrick because I think he's a fantastic manager, but it just wasn't working out at the end of the day. So they're looking a lot better since Merrick did leave, which I think they could still definitely make a push for the finals. I think they will make the finals as well. Actually, yeah, I think they will finish in the top five. I think they'll finish above Perth as well. So I'm going to give them a C minus just because they've played some fantastic football, but it's just not come together. And it's started to come together as well recently. Although they didn't lose on the weekend, I think they still did play pretty well. And it's never going to be an easy task for them travelling from Wellington to Perth. So, yeah, they're going to get a C minus from me, Jordan.
Western Sydney Wanderers to finish proceedings of these mid-season reports. It's been a bit abysmal for them this season. They've only won two of their opening 14 games, which is sort of, you know, bottom place on the table sort of form. They currently sit seventh, though, because they have drawn eight of those 14 games. So interesting for them. They have lost four. They've scored 17 goals. They've conceded 24, which was their one thing they needed to fix was their goalkeeping department. And they did so with Jan Jedovic signing last week and made his debut against City, did very well. So it's good that they've got that in. Their midfield is probably their best, you know, sort of strength. You know, Dimas, Martinez, Nichols, Jumpai, fantastic players. Adam Terry Antonis, who's going to make his debut most likely in the derby this week. And they've got a fantastic midfield. They do need to improve up front, though. I think that's the one thing that's, you know, killing them at the moment is their lack of striker. You know, Brendan Santelab leading the lines, not really heavily regarded as one of the best strikers in the league. After they lost Kerem Bullitt, who isn't really that good, but he is an option. Lachlan Scott will have to burden a lot of the, have to shoulder a lot of the burden, as well. So it's a weird season for Western Sydney. I'm going to give them a D, Jake. I think they've been like they sit seventh, which isn't even bad, but they've only won two games. And I just don't know.
They've obviously been worse than they should be with the midfield they've got. That's something they need to work out. They definitely need a new striker and maybe a new centre-back as well. But they're starting to come together. They are playing some decent football. Nico Martinez is up there with the best players in the league. And then they've got Nichols, Jumpai, like you said. They've got Antonis potentially playing this week. So they've got the team. Well, not the team, but they've got the players. They just got to start playing for the shirt, really, because Western Sydney fan base obviously isn't too happy with how things are going. If they need to get rid of Popovich, I don't know. I think they do. But I don't think they will until the end of the season at least, because they've still got ACL coming up as well. That's where I don't think they're going to make the finals, because they've got the Asian Champions League coming up, which is just going to make their scheduling even more clusterfucked. I don't think they're going to make the finals. I think they will surprise people in the derby this week, though.
Yeah, I think they'll perform pretty well, to be honest. I agree with you. That's all the teams, though, that we're going to go through, because that's all the teams in the league. We will crack on through the previews quite quickly, because we are going over time, as we normally do. Thursday night, Jake, kicks off Adelaide United against Melbourne City. I think it's going to be a very close game, if I'm honest. I think Adelaide are due a performance that is better than what their season has suggested. And Melbourne City are not in the greatest form right now. So I think I think City will win, but I think Adelaide will do very well.
I think, I don't know actually. I think City have been very up and down over the last month, and they weren't, like, they deserved to win against Western Sydney on the weekend, but at the same time, they weren't terrific, and Adelaide will be desperately trying to get a point at least from this game. So I think they will get a point as well. I think City just can't find that gauge of consistency, and not having an actual manager at the moment isn't helping them either. So I think Adelaide will snag a point, Jordan.
Snags. Victory versus Brisbane Roar here at Amy Park on Friday night. Great game in store for us. Victory in great form, winning 5 in the trot. Brisbane have lost the last two after losing only one for the season previous to those two games. Jake, I think Victory should win this game. I think Victory would win any game right now if they played, so I'm going to go with another win for them. And I'm not going to say it's going to be convincing, but I reckon maybe a 2-0 would be in store.
Yeah, I think we should win. We've touched on a fair bit this season. The Brisbane Roar don't usually travel too well. And Melbourne Victory have only lost 3 games in their last 2 seasons at home in the A-League. So they're reasonably good at home. So I think that we should get the 3 points. But at the same time, you never know, because Brisbane do have good players. So if they turn up thinking that they're playing at Suncorp, you never know, they won't get the 3 points. But I think Victory should win 2-0.
Stole my prediction. Well, it's Phoenix. They host Central Coast Mariners here at the Bernabeu in Wellington. This would actually probably be a shit game, in my opinion. I've got a slight feeling it's going to be the worst game of the round, and that's not because either team isn't good at attacking. They're both pretty decent attacks. I've just got a slight feeling it's going to be a bad game, Jake. both teams have lost 1 game in a row. Central Coast have lost 4 of their last 5. Which is a shame, but, you know, YOLO.
They've had a tough run.
They have had a very tough run.
They've lost the top 3 in their last 3 games.
Lucky. So, yeah, I think Wellington, if any team's going to win, will win this game, but I reckon it's going to be a draw.
Yeah, just touched on that they've lost the top 3 in their last 3 games. They've actually finished first to top 4 in their last 4 games. So they've had a reasonably tough run. I think it won't get any better for them either. I think they will lose this just on the fact that it's in Wellington. And the last two times these two teams have played, Wellington have won. So I think that'll just stick on Jordan.
Nice stat. In saying that, though, Wellington's home form has been deplorable this season.
Yeah.
And they're not really historically amazing at home against Wellington, against Central Coast. So they did win the last one, 3-0, but prior to that, they lost 3-1 at home at the start of last year to Central Coast. So, I don't know. I reckon it's going to be a draw, just my opinion. Everyone's entitled to it. Sydney FC versus Western Sydney FC, the derby. Yeah, fucking Abbey, Sunday. Sunday night. Sydney FC are 4 wins on the trot, unbeaten in 14 games, because they have not lost a game this season. Western Sydney are 3 points from their last 15 on offer, 8 draws to the season. It's not looking too good for them. And it probably won't be any better after this game. Like you said, they probably will put in a good performance, but I'm not sure it's going to be good enough for a win. Sydney FC haven't lost to Western Sydney since January of 2014, and it will not be a day where West Sydney win.
I think they will. I said earlier, I think they're going to surprise people this week, and no, I think they will win. Just on the fact that they haven't won a derby in over 1,000 days, and they've been bang average this year, and it'll just be one of those weird moments where a team has been bang average and hasn't won a derby in so long will just come up and win one. And to break Sydney FC's unbeaten streak as well, I think they'll be going in with that extra mindset as well, that Sydney FC are unbeaten and they've got that sort of streak to break. So I think they'll win. Hopefully they do as well for Victory's sake, but I think it's going to be a fantastic derby to watch. Terry Antonis obviously expected to make his debut. Janjetovic is going to be in goals as well. And I have a feeling if Antonis starts, they might go in with a bit of a false nine
sort of get-up. Centre forward?
I'm not sure where they'll start. But I reckon they'll have Martinez in... Jumpai as the sort of wingers, sort of forwards, and then they'll have Nichols at centre forward with Antonis and Dimas behind them, which I think would be smart to stack the midfield against a team like Sydney and then try and catch them on the break, sort of. So, I think they're going to win 2-1, Jordan.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see, wouldn't it? Last game of the round, Newcastle Jets host Perth Glory. In a actually pretty decent game in store for us, very big game, because 6th versus 5th, this is a good opportunity here for Newcastle to jump above Perth Glory. Both teams have won on the weekend, and they will both be looking for a similar result. But I've got a feeling Newcastle might just get the chocolates this game.
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, Perth have a trip to Newcastle, and they should be looking to win. But saying so, I mean, Newcastle's been fantastic over the last month or so as well. So I don't know what to expect from this one, because I think Perth should win, just on the basis that Perth do have the better team overall. But Newcastle have been a lot better than people think this year and expected. I'm going to just sit on the fence and lean on a 1-1 draw, just because I literally have no idea who's... It'll depend on who turns up, really. If Perth don't turn up, Newcastle will roll them. If Newcastle don't turn up with the right mindset, Perth will roll them. So I'm just going to sit on the fence and say it's going to be a draw.
Sit on that fence, Jake. Sit on that fence.
I am sitting on it.
That's the end of the podcast today. For another week in the A-League, I think. Yep. We'll be back on Friday with the Everything EPL podcast. We'll be back with the A-League next week. Hopefully everyone's teams win, except maybe not
Brisbane. Whatever.
Brisbane, yeah, Brisbane. We've just covered it. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, on all that social media buzz, only Facebook. And follow us on Audioboom to stay up to date with all things JJ's Football Fix. Yeah, that's all. I feel like we have a Twitter account, but we don't. We'll get that one day. But until next week, Jake.
Have a nice. I'm on top of the world, hey.